Shalom Aleichem. For Parshas Tzav, will Amirat Hashem have 7 Divrei Torah? Parshas Tzav focuses a lot on the korbanos to be brought in the Mishkan. We're going to start all the way at the beginning. Dvar Torah number 1. At the way beginning of the Parsha, it says Tzav, es Aaron, command to Aaron, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the famous Chazal Rashi brings Ein Tzav Ela Lashon Zeros. What is Tzav? A commandment. Command them. This is to inspire them to act with alacrity. Why specifically here do we have to say Zeros, that we have to command the Kohanim to act with speed, with alacrity? Because, says Rashi, Biyoser Tzarek Lizarez B'makam Shish Chisaron Kis, because especially at a time when there could be financial loss, that is when people have to be especially careful. Here, there's a financial loss. You're dealing with a karbanos. You have to do things accurately. And if not accurately, it's going to cause the person bringing the korban, or if it's communal offering, it will cause the community a loss. And accordingly, that's going to be a financial loss. You have to be, as a kohen, be very careful. You're basically handling other people's money, other people's property, and you have to be careful. Accordingly, command them to act with alacrity. So the Chidush Arim brings this concept, but he doesn't bring it kipshuto in the simple understanding that it's chisaron kis, literally means a financial loss. But he uses it in a different direction. He says, if we look at ourselves, many of our senses have a kis that has a covering to them. For example, our tongues have the sfasayim, have the lips as a covering to keep them in guard. And our eyes, we have our eyelids to keep our eyes closed if we would be encountering things we should not be looking at. And we say the same thing, the Gemara says, when it comes to the ears, don't listen to Lashon Hara, don't listen to Nivol Peh, close up the ears by putting the flap underneath the ear in, folding it up. So those would all be a kis, a covering. So many senses of our senses have coverings. However, one thing that really doesn't have a covering is our thoughts. Our thoughts don't have a protection. It doesn't have a covering to it. And accordingly, l'chein ba'a ha'ole l'chaper al chir ha'alev. We're talking here about the korban ola at the beginning of the parsha, and that is why the korban ola is brought to act as a kapara, as repentance for improper thoughts in our hearts. And that's why it's saying when it comes to something that doesn't have a kis, when it comes to our thoughts, that it doesn't have something that is going to keep those thoughts in check, like the eyes and like the ears, etc., those things, they have a kis, they have a covering, but the mind is going and going and going. That is especially when we have to be very careful. We have to be mezaris to keep our minds, our thoughts in check. And that is the reason why a korban olah is brought when we don't keep our minds in check. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 2. On the same pasuk, on the same drasha of Chazal, what is that tzav? When we say a commandment, command the kohanim, this is the language of zeros, aquitalent and alacrity. So why is it saying it specifically here, talking about the korban tamid, which is an ola, that you have to bring it on a continual basis? The korban tamid was brought in the base hamikdash, and the mishkan we're talking about here, later on in the base hamikdash, on a daily basis, twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. Why are we saying tzav, be very careful in this context of the korban ola, the korban tamid? So that is our question. So I saw an interesting answer. It says because it has to be brought on a timely basis. Something that has to be brought on a timely basis, and if you don't bring it on a timely basis, it's going to be invalid. And we're talking about every day, twice a day, it has to be brought at the proper time, or else it's not going to be effective, it's going to be invalid. Then you have to be incredibly careful about maintaining that schedule. And I think I would extend that a little bit more. When we have something that you do continually, regularly, on a routine, it could become rote. That's life. That's how we are. We're human beings, something that we have to do over and over again. We lose the sensitivity, even when it's such an important thing for us to do. We lose that sensitivity to understanding the importance. It was important. We know it's important, but we don't pay attention. And accordingly, we would come to being lax in the halachas, in being on a timely basis, paying attention, having the proper thoughts. And that's why when it comes to something that is brought so regularly, daily, day in, day out, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, it has lashon zeros, careful. You have to act with alacrity. Don't get desensitized. Don't become dull to the significance of something that you do. Even if it becomes routine, don't let it become routine. Don't let it become rote. Put your head in the game and pay attention to what you are doing. Moving forward to Dvar Torah number 3. We are in Perek Vav, Pasuk Yud Ches. It says, talking about the various locations in the Mishkan and thereafter in the Beis HaMikdash where we would bring various korbanos. So here, it's talking about the location to bring the korban ola. That is, the korban ola is fully burnt on the Mizbeach. That's the korban ola. And it's talking about the korban chatas, the sin offering. If somebody can committed a myriad of sins, that person, even just doing one of that list of sins, would bring a korban chatas. And here in talking about the proper location of bringing both the korban ola and bringing the chatas, it says they're done in the same location. B'makom asher tishachet ha'ola tishachet ha'chatas. The place that you're bringing the korban ola, that is the same place that you're going to bring the korban chatas. Chatas is done, a sin that you've did. Korban ola you could bring for various reasons. We mentioned before one of them, having improper thoughts, but that's not the only reason. It's not intrinsically a sin offering. It is an offering that we bring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the chatas is a sin offering. So there's something to be learned from the fact that they are brought in the same place. The question is, what is that? So the Gemara explains, why did Chazal institute that when we say our tefillah refers in particular to the Shemona Esrei, why it should be balachash, it should be silent. And the reason, as explained, is because we don't want to embarrass somebody who, in the context of their tefillah, they did an avera, they did a sin, and they're going to say vidui, they're going to say a repentance, they're going to talk about their sin, and they're going to ask for slicha, mechila, I did wrong, and they're going to do a vidui over a confession over a sin that they committed. And if the davening had to be out loud, that person would be embarrassed having to talk about the sin that he or she committed. Accordingly, Chazal instituted that everyone, not only the sinners, but everyone should say their tefillah, should say their Shemona Esrei quietly, so those who did commit a sin, and they have to confess for the sins, they wouldn't say it out loud and be embarrassed. So because the people who committed the sin would be embarrassed, we're going to say Chazal instituted, very sensitive, everyone should say their tefillah quietly. Not only the sinners, but the non-sinners as well. The non-sinners, because we want to make sure that the sinners aren't embarrassed. So that is the concept here as well. When it comes to b'makom asher tishachet ha'ola tishachet ha'chatas, same place that we bring the ola, we should bring the chatas. If we had a designated area that just the sinners would bring the korban chatas, everyone would be looking at them. Those are the sinners. I wonder what he did. Was it a chilul Shabbos? Was it eating treif? And all the sinners would go to one place and they'd be terribly embarrassed. Accordingly, the Torah says, bring that korban chatas when people are bringing a korban ola. And people aren't going to know, are you bringing it? Are you going there because it's an ola? Are you going to bring it because it's a korban chatas? We don't want to embarrass the people who are bringing a korban chatas, so let them bring it at the same place, the same location of those who are bringing the korban ola. And accordingly, we see here the beautiful concept of the sensitivity of the Torah to not embarrassing people. And we see that in a number of places that Chazal make institute and decrees that we should not embarrass people. And obviously, it's a severe sin to not, but we see Chazal really went to great lengths to ensure that people should not be embarrassed. A similar concept, the Taz, one of the greatest commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, he was noheg. It was his custom to say, when he said Kiddush on Shabbos, on Yontif, he would say the Kiddush from a sitter. Obviously, he knew the Kiddush by heart. He was one of the greatest sages in history, one of the great commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch, but he used a sitter. And why was that? He used a sitter because sometimes they would have guests over, and those guests would not know the Kiddush by heart. And then here, and they'd be embarrassed about that when they'd be at home and they had their own guests or in front of their family members, and they wouldn't be able to say the Kiddush by heart. So now they see the great Taz, and he is saying Kiddush from a sitter. They would no longer be embarrassed for themselves to say Kiddush from a sitter when they were at their homes or other locations. And that's why the Taz did it. I'm going to say it from a sitter to make sure that the people who really need the sitter, they're not going to be embarrassed when they need to use that sitter. We are continuing with Dvar Torah number 4. And again, same pasuk, b'makom asher tishachet ha'olah, tishachet ha'chata, same location that you bring the korban olah, that is where you're going to bring the korban chata. So a korban olah is, as we mentioned, one of the reasons a korban chola is brought is because of having improper thoughts, hirhurim, lewd thoughts, improper thoughts. And a korban that is brought for a chatas is brought for an action, a sinful action. And it goes like this. Rav Feivel Schlesinger explains as follows: Ha'ol abal hirhurei alev. The ol is brought for inappropriate thoughts. Umeishi mevi chatas. Somebody who brings a korban chatas. So somebody who brings that korban chatas is based on an action. He may think, I only did an action, but I am clean. I have pure thoughts. It's only that I did the wrong action, but I am really not at danger. It's much worse for somebody who has improper thoughts, lewd thoughts. That's a much bigger avera than me, who I did a nevera in my actions, but not my thoughts. And what the pasuk is telling us here is b'makom asher tishachet ha'olah, tishachet ha'chatas, wherever you're going to bring the olah, you're going to bring your chatas, as well as teaching the people who did a chatas, they did a chet, they did a sin, that is obligating them to bring a korban chatas. Don't think that you only sinned with an action that your thoughts are clean, because anyone who sins with an improper action, a non-halachic action, something that's prohibited by the Torah, that starts with thoughts that are off. If somebody has the purest of thoughts, they're not going to do a chait, they're not going to do an improper action. So it's coming to tell those people that did the actions, don't think you only did an action wrong, you also had the wrong thoughts, because the wrong thoughts lead to a sinful action. And that's why it says in the same place that the korban of the olah on thoughts is brought, the korban of the chatas on actions is brought. It's coming to teach us, teach the people who are bringing the chatas based on their actions. It's not only that you failed in your actions, but it all starts with having improper thoughts. We are now moving forward to Dvar Torah number 5, and it's talking about, it's a Parak Zayin, Pasuk Zayin, Asher Yechaper Bo, talking about the korban, the Kohen who brings a korban, and also via that korban, bringing a korban chatas for somebody. A number of the actions have to be done by the Kohen, not the individual. The Shechita can be done by a non-Kohen, but the other acts have to be done by the Kohen, for example, receiving the blood and putting it on the Mizbeach and the like. So it says here that the Kohen does the various actions in bringing that korban, and that person gets a kapara. He gets repentance. And the Mishle Yaakov tells us the concept of repentance means it makes you parf. It brings you up. It may wipe out your sin. But he brings a mashal as to what's really happening here. And his mashal is very fascinating. It says, if you think about a creditor gave a loan to a debtor, for example, a merchant or something like that, and he knows that that debtor, that merchant, hit really rocky times, financially very difficult times, and he has mercy on that individual, and he is what we call mivater. He cancels the loan. He says, I'm going to forgive you on the indebtedness that you owe me. You owe me. I lent you $100, but I see you're having a really tough time financially. I'm going to cancel that indebtedness, and you're not going to have to pay me back. That's a wonderful thing. But what is not happening here is that he's not going to be extending more credit to that individual, because that is a credit risk. So he may be knocking out the existing debt, but he's not going to be gambling, saying, I'll give you more credit, I'll give you more goods, I'll give you more money, because he's not going to take that risk. And the similar thing here, says the Mishle Yaakov, when it comes to a sinner, he brings his korban chatas, and via that chatas, it is going to expunge that sin, it's going to wipe out that sin, but it doesn't mean that that person is now going to be trusted going forward. He's got to rebuild that trust because he sinned. It's going to wipe out the negative, but he's at par of it's not going to build a positive. That's up for the individual to do going forward. We are moving forward now to Dvar Torah number 6. It's Parak Zayin, Pasuk Yugimel, and it says, Achalos Lechem Chametz. It happened to be that there were various korbanos that were brought together with loaves, and the loaves, different amounts. It could be 10, 20, 30, 40 different amounts of loaves. The Korban Todah had 40 loaves. And what's interesting is the loaves came in basically two categories. There were various variations of this, but two categories. One category is going to be that they come as chametz, leavened bread. We think of chametz as our chametz that we're going into Pesach. So somewhat similar with leavened bread. And many, many of them, when you had loaves, came as matzah. It was unleavened, in an unleavened form. In fact, most of the, and these are talking about a korban mincha, almost all of them came in the form of matzah. Matzah is unleavened, and there were only two korbanos that had leaven, that came as chametz, and that was the korban todah. Korban todah is a thanksgiving offering brought by certain people, somebody who was incredibly sick, and came out of that sickness, and somebody who was in a jail and got out of the jail, somebody traveled a difficult travel and the like. So various things, you bring a korban todah, so that was brought from chametz, and also the shtei halechem, which is brought on Shavuos. So those are the two that are brought from chametz, leavened bread. However, all the others were brought from matzah. So I saw a nice word on this. It says as follows, that HaTorah melamedes sotanu, it's Torah is coming to teach us that when we are giving thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Korban Todah, in particular the Thanksgiving offering, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu saves us from something, that we have to say thanks to Kadosh Baruch Hu, that Shevach Ve'odah, thank you, praise to Kadosh Baruch Hu, not only on the good times, which is the lechem. Lechem represents 11 things that have grown, it represents wealth, but rather we have to give thanks and to Kadosh Baruch Hu not only on the good times, but also when we have challenging times, when we have pains and sorrow, on the chametz in life as well. The things that are leavened, we have to say thank you to Kadosh Baruch Hu as well. And that's what the Rem is here, that we're going to have the lachmei todah, those are the loaves of the korban todah, and also the loaves of the shtei alechem, which are brought on Shavuos, those are going to be brought specifically with chametz, that we have to say thank you to Kadosh Baruch Hu, not only on the good, but the bad as well. And that's why it's brought from chametz, representing the more bitter, the more difficult times we have. In fact, we just recently in Yerushalayim had various hafkanot, protests, and it was right in the community that we live in, walked right up our street, a lot of people with making a lot of noise and against the government and this and that. And we were getting out of shul. I walked with my son back from Maariv, and we walked along the street Ramban, and there's a park there. And at the park, there's a very tiny store. I don't even know if we can call it a store, but it's a little outlet there that a couple people can fit inside, and they sell candies and drinks, and they sell ice creams and the like. They sell chocolates. And the person who owns the store, one of the two people who owned the store, he was standing outside. No business. And there were tons of people all around at this protest, but he had no business. No one was buying. So I went over to him. I said, I would think that business should be good. And he said, no, these aren't the people who are really interested in buying from me. They're interested in buying from their own people. They're interested in supporting people on a different level, a different side of the political spectrum. And he gave a little bit more detail, but they're not interested in buying from me. But I'm very thankful for everything I have. And I don't say anything negative about anyone. I don't want to say anything negative about them. And I'm really thankful for everything that I have, even if, there's no business right now. And I thought that was a very nice attitude. And he says, I want to explain to you what I'm saying, that even from the bad, even from difficult times, we know that good should come out as well. And this may be a little challenging for me because there's no business, but good will come out, and this is a challenging time for Israel and the country of Israel with all the politics and the protests going on, but good will come out of this as well. And he says, I'll tell you that during the Holocaust in a certain one of the camps, they had, unfortunately, Rachmana Litzlan, the ovens that were used to burn the bodies. And he said, terrible, but even from the terrible, what the Jews did in that camp is they used those ovens, those terrible ovens, to make matzah. And he said that it was Pesach time. And he says, again, his concept that he wanted to explain to me is even from the bad, good can come out. Even from those ovens, those horrific ovens, good can come out as well. And he says, that's my view now as well, whether it applies to my business or whether it applies to the politics now. These are negative things, but We should be positive. We should be optimistic. Good things will come out of this. And indeed, that's what we effectively are saying. Al chalos lechem chametz. When it comes to the korban Torah, we bring it from chametz. We bring it from something that's leaven, something that represents pain and difficult and sorrow. But say still, the message is we have to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu even for those challenging times. Amir Tzah Hashem, things, good things will come out of them as well. And now we're moving forward to Dvar Torah number 7, and we are in the Pasuk, Umi Pesach Oel Moed Lo Teitzu Shivas Yamim. It's actually two similar Pesukim. We're on Ches, Perek Ches, Pasuk Lamed Gimel, Pesach Oel Moed Teishu Yomam Valela Shivas Yamim. It's talking about at the inauguration of the Mishkan, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron and his children that it's not all that they should sit at the opening to the Oel Moed all 7 days straight, that they have to sit there, etc. But when they're doing the Avoda, you have to be on. And the Beis Asher has a very nice and powerful message from this. Pesach Ohel Moed. You're at the door. You're sitting at the door for 7 days. We have a meremez that somebody has to envision in his life constantly that he's always standing at the door of the Mishkan. And that means I'm standing on the outside, that I haven't even started. If everything I've accomplished, everything I've done, you haven't even started. View yourself on the outside of the door, waiting to get in, waiting to start. Reb Elimelech Milizinsk says as follows on the pasuk: Pischuli Sharei Tzedek Avavam Odeka. So we say, open for me the doors, peacefully, Sha'arei Tzedek, the doors of righteousness, and I will come in and thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he said as follows, what is that pasuk coming to teach us? That we are standing on the outside, peacefully, just as we said before, open me the doors, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm standing on the outside, I can't even get in, but I'm trying, I want to get in. And the response is, Zeh Hashal Hashem, this is the gate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean? That our Iker Avoda in life is to feel that we haven't done anything yet. As much as we've done, we have to feel I have so much to accomplish, I have so much to do. I'm standing outside the door, open me for the door, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, open the door for me, I will praise you. And the answer is Zeh Hashal Hashem, this feeling that you have, not looking back and saying I accomplished so much, but looking forward saying, look at how much I have to accomplish. That is the Iker Avoda, and that's what it's saying in this pasuk. Pesach Oel Moed, that they sat on the outside of the door, Shivas Yamim, 7 days. Look at it as if you're on the outside of the door. You haven't started. There's so much to do in life. There's so much to accomplish. And Emir Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will give each of us tremendous hatzlacha. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.